Hi. Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 19, and we're going to pick up with verse 12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord.
We're just going on with what should be common sense things. But because it's just a practice of so many people, God said to his people, I don't want you to be like other people. Don't swear falsely. And, you know, I'll be vague with this, but just like in our Senate and our Congress and hearings, and people come in there and they lie. I mean, this is people that are leaders are lying through their teeth. And they know they're lying. And the amazing thing is they don't do anything about it. They don't hold them in contempt of whatever. And so it becomes a way of life. If you don't deal with children for lying, for swearing falsely is lying. You understand? And if you don't deal with them for those things, they just think that's the normal way of life. I'll tell you one thing. My daddy, he said, I'll whip you more for lying than for doing what you did. He would not tolerate not telling him the truth. And the thing about God is he knows the truth anyway. Yeah. You can't lie to God. You're just deceiving yourself. So he tells them they're not to be like other people. They're not to swear falsely and using God's name. You know, people, I swear to God. How many times have you heard people say that? And it's not true. And so they're swearing by God's name and using God's name in a disrespectful way. And honestly, I just don't think that's appropriate. I don't like to hear those little bywords that people have. And to me, if you're using God's name, it should be to exalt Him, to praise Him, call on Him, brag on Him. But not just to fill in blanks. No, we need to have an awesome respect for God. He's worthy of it.
I listened to some older teaching, STC teaching, about taking the Lord's name in vain and how that's done so often, so just without any thought or consideration, and how people do that and not realize when you take the Lord's name in vain, you're using His name in an unproductive manner. It's not producing anything. And I never thought of it in that manner. People will use the Lord's name, like Pete was saying, just little bywords and not even realize. Born-again Christians.
Preachers are bad about it. They are bad about using, and it's a bad example. You understand? Mm-hmm. I used to think taking God's name in vain when I was a kid. I thought it was cussing. We're not talking about cussing. I mean, you shouldn't cuss.
Right.
That just shows you vocabulary is not real good. Okay. But taking God's name in vain is using God's name in a worthless manner. You're profaning the name. And you think about what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, sacred, hallowed is sacred. If you look at it, sacred is your name. And so we're talking about Jesus, when we're talking about Father God, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, These are sacred names. We're not to just use them to fill in blanks as expressions with my God or oh Jesus or oh Lord and all these type things. That is a real conviction with me, because to me it's taking his name in vain. I'm using his name in vain. And so there's a lot to this. Well, everybody does it. Aha! He says, I want you to be different. I don't want you to be like everybody else. But I want you to be distinctly different. I want you to have an awesome respect for the God that you serve and for the God who provides and protects you. And don't defame the name of God or profane it.
Good. Thank you. Verse 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning.
This is really an incredible statement if you think about it. And so we can hardly relate to it because, you know, we work and get paid by the week or 2 weeks or by the month.
Mm-hmm.
But God's law was you pay them when they get through the day. You pay him that day. If he comes and works for you that day, you pay him that day. That's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't ride somebody else's money. And I could go as long here again. I have personal convictions on that. When a bill comes due, it's due the day I get it. You understand? Not riding it for 30 days. You follow me? We're to set the example. I believe the church should be the example to the community that we pay our bills promptly. And as an individual, that we pay our bills promptly. I'm telling you, when I get a bill, I don't rest. If I go in tonight and I have a bill that came in the mail today, I want that bill paid tomorrow. I want it in the mail. I don't want somebody else riding my money. Why would I want to ride theirs? Here again, that's a personal conviction. But it's treating people like you want people to treat you. Treat them fairly. Treat your associates fairly. Treat your laborers fairly. They work for you. Pay them. Well, that's a standard. Getting paid daily. And that'd make you different to all the other nations, all the other people. But God wanted them distinctly different.
Yeah.
Then you're not taking advantage of people.
Verse 14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord.
So here's a warning against mocking the deaf, putting a stumbling block in the way of the blind. People are to fear God. And it's amazing how many people mock or make fun or make light of people that are handicapped. And here again, I appreciate my upbringing, my dad. My dad would wear you out if you made fun of somebody. I mean, he would not tolerate that. That person can't help that they're blind. Or that person can't help that they're deaf, but people make fun of them. No, you treat everybody with respect. But for the grace of God, that could be you.
Yeah.
And you need to consider that.
Verse 15. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor.
That means if you judge fairly, you don't need lawyers. Is that plain enough? The judges had a mandate. In other words, do you hear this person, you hear this person, you give a fair judgment. Just because the person's poor, don't favor him. Or just because the person's rich, don't favor him. What's right, do what's right. They were warned against taking bribes. It says bribe blinds the eyes. It'll cause you to make a wrong judgment. And what do you do today? That's what the court system's all about. It's bribery. What's plea bargain? It's cutting the deal. It's not judging fairly. It's not just judgment. And so when God tells these Israelites, this is how you're to do this, that makes them different than everybody else. We've got a judge that's going to judge righteous, and it doesn't matter who it is that's standing before him, that he's going to give a righteous judgment. No bias to it, and no plea bargain.
You know, what's an amazing thing to me is every one of these verses that we've read so far, I have seen happen, and you probably have too. Isn't that sad? Anyway, verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord.
Man, that's called gossip.
Yeah.
And sadly, the churches are full of it. You understand? No, you don't go around talking about people, and you definitely don't slander people. It's not a fact of right or wrong. You're not the judge. They belong to God. They don't belong to you. And so you're not to be passing judgment unless you're in the position to where there is a legal matter and you're the judge. And you judge righteously. And so they're not to spread false statements about people, and they're not to endanger anyone's life.
I have a little note in my Bible right here beside verse 16. Mind your own business. Right there in red. Just mind your own business. Verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him.
I have had people to make false statements about me, and I couldn't appreciate it.
Right.
Spread lies about you and all these rumors and stuff like that. And I just believe that what Jesus gave, what we call the golden rule, that it's a good rule to live by. You treat others like you want to be treated, not like they treat you. Do you want to be lied about? Then don't lie about other people. Do you want to be slandered? Then don't slander other people. You understand? How do you want people to treat you? You set the example. You demonstrate. And that's exactly what Jesus did in his life. He demonstrated a higher standard. You heard it said, but I say, don't murder. I'm telling you, don't hate. And here he's dealing with hate coming out of the heart, that we're not to hate in the heart. I'm telling you, when you get that hatred in your heart, it'll end up producing something wrong towards somebody. If a person has done you wrong, then confront the person, you and the person, and give the person the opportunity to apologize or whatever. It could be an oversight. It could be a mistake. Or whatever. But get the problem resolved. Now, if they don't want to resolve the problem, then there are other means and other laws. But you confront the person that does you wrong. So you give that violator an opportunity to repent of his sin. Now, it's a sin. When you do somebody wrong, you're sinning against God, not just the person. But if you're sinning against them, you're sinning against God. And so you give them the opportunity to make that thing right. Do you follow me? I'm not talking about, when I say confront, I'm not talking about setting the record straight. I'm talking about drawing attention to the wrong that's been done. Not vindicating yourself. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not us.
Verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
Well, there you go. You can't seek revenge. You can't harbor resentment against someone. We're to love people as we love ourselves. Do you love yourself? Love people as you love yourself. I've had God to deal with me over this because of some lies and trying to destroy me. And I didn't say anything. The Lord told me to keep my mouth shut. But then the Lord dealt with me. Actually, he said, you have bitterness in your heart. I said, no, I don't. How stupid can you be? I said, maybe resentment. And the Lord said, you have bitterness in your heart. And so finally I had to fess up. You understand? I mean, God's always right. And honestly, I didn't think I was bitter toward the person, but I knew I resented the stuff. And then the Lord put the responsibility on me to take the initiative to restore the relationship. That's not fair. That's God's way. You know why? For your benefit. And I can tell you right now, when I did what God told me to do, it was like the weight of the world lifted off me. I didn't realize that was bothering me like it was bothering me. Because I'm a type person that'll internalize and you'll never hear anything. But I didn't realize how that was affecting me. But God was doing that for my best interest. And so when I did what he told me to do, man, I was like a free bird after that. Don't hate in your heart. Don't resent. Just forgive them as fast as they have the offense against. Forgive them. Just forgive them. Forgive them. And that's what Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They're killing him. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. What did Stephen say? Don't lay that sin against them. Don't charge them with that. This is what makes us distinctly different. This is what made Israel distinctly different. You don't act like other people. You know, somebody does you wrong, you get even, right? That's the world's way. No. God says you treat them right. You treat them right. You don't resent them. You don't hate them. You don't let that thing get down into your heart. But you love them like you love your own self. And so you treat them like you would want to be treated. Now that's a different standard. Now we're talking holy. because that's the way God is. It puts a whole new meaning to holiness when you think about it, when you look at it from the scriptures.
I sure am glad that the Lord treated me that way, that He didn't harbor resentment against me. Well, did you know what she did? But you know, it was the Father that drew me to Jesus. Without Him drawing me, I wouldn't have come. And he took that initiative to restore that relationship, to make that relationship right. I'm so grateful.
I'll give you another example, if you just humor me with personal. I was at the altar praying, and the Spirit of the Lord said, if you see your brother has aught against you, leave your gift at the altar, and the bottom line is go make it right with your brother. And there was a lady there that was mad at me because we were, a group was at their house in a Christian setting, and Sid asked me a question, and I had just given her a scriptural answer by the Bible. And she didn't like what the Bible said. And she really got upset with me. And somebody told me that she was upset with me. And so that night, the Lord said, if you see your brother has out, I said, and I knew what He was talking about. I said, Lord, I didn't do anything wrong. I told her the truth. And here again, you don't argue with God and win. And again, the Lord said, if you see your brother has all to get, leave the gift offer. In other words, I'm not listening to you till you get that taken care of.
Man.
So I finally got up from the altar and I went back to the lady. And I just said, if I've offended you in any way, I want you to forgive me. Because I wouldn't do anything to hurt you. And you know what? It broke everything. That relationship was restored, and then I felt better. And now the Lord led her in my prayer. But the Lord will put responsibility on you because you're the person to set the example. And you go with this, well, it's not fair. It's God. God's fair. God's just. God's right. We have to learn to do things God's way. But it's always in your best interest. That's the amazing thing. Your flesh is screaming. But when you do it, it brings relief to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that got fixed.
He's good, isn't he? We all have stories, don't we? You think about things. I've had situations with people in my life, and I think, well, I'm never going to see that person again. I'm just going to let it be. You move 4 states away, and where do you run into that person? The Lord, He does not...
On the other side of the street, yeah.
Yeah, but He doesn't release us of our responsibility that we have in our accountability, and man, we just have to make it right, don't we? We make it right.
I tell you, the Lord put my feet to the fire more times than I can tell you. A person that had just maliciously lied and tried to, was in the ring that tried to destroy me, had a problem with the vehicle. And somebody else that didn't know anything just called me and said, can you come up here and look at this vehicle? And my flesh is saying, you out of your mind. The way that person has done me. But in my heart, I knew I had to go up there and work on that vehicle. And I mean, the atmosphere you could cut with a knife is the old saying. Yeah, but I did what I was supposed to do. And it's just the Lord was working on me to get it to where those things don't control you. They don't bother you. He did you wrong. Do him right. Do him right. You set the example. Now, thank God for obeying him. You understand? Because it had a positive effect on me. And ultimately, it ended up restoring the relationship. After it was all said and done.
Really have to put down the flesh to serve the Lord, don't we? Okay.
If you follow the Spirit of God, people will find out you're not nearly as bad as they said you were.
That's good. Okay, verse 19. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee.
Now here again, he talks about distinctly different. God says, all right, I don't want you crossbreeding. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Don't want you to be like others. I don't want you to wear clothing out of two different materials, out of wool and linen. I want everything pure, everything virgin that you're wearing. I want everything virgin. Let me put it that way, okay? It's keeping them distinctly different from everybody else. And so here's what we're really saying. Is God is requiring his people to live by a higher standard. Now, do you want to be a people of God? Then it will require you to live by a higher standard. You can't be like other people.
And to me, this points to the whole notion of, you know, don't be unequally yoked.
Right. And he's very specific about that. A sinner should never be yoked to a saint. What fellowship do you have? What do you have in common with the devil? Think about that one.
Hopefully nothing. All right, verse 20. And whosoever lieth carnally with the woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to a husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death, because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him.
So the slave is dealt with differently because the woman is the property of somebody else. Normally you would kill the person. He said, no, you don't kill the person because then you would be affecting this man's property, affecting him. He has an investment in this. Now, she's to be punished. And the man has to offer his sacrifices and get everything right with God. But it was a different procedure with the person who was a slave than it was with somebody that's committing adultery. Okay?
Verse 23, and when ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manners of all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. And in the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God.
It's an interesting word that he's using there, uncircumcised. But if you think about this, that was one of the things that separated the nation of Israel, was circumcision. And so what he's saying is a person, for instance, a person that's not circumcised, then you're not to have anything to do with that. So for 3 years, you consider that tree as an uncircumcised. You have nothing to do with that. The fourth year, the fruit's to the Lord. Then the fifth year, you can enjoy the fruit of the tree. Higher standard.
You think when we get to the different festivals, we're going to learn about first fruits. And this is just an example to me of when that tree starts producing mature fruit, you give it first to the Lord before you partake of anything. We should do that with all that we have, shouldn't we? Give to the Lord first. Verse 26, you shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment nor observe times.
So, that's pretty simple. Don't eat anything with blood. In other words, you drain the meat. You cook. You know, all the sacrifices were cooked. They were, there's no blood. In other words, they're not eating rare meat with blood running out of it and things of this. They're different. Okay? They're different. Why? Life's in the blood. You respect that. And so don't take that blood. There is a blood that's coming. And you'll take it by the Spirit, which is Jesus. Then he says, he warns against us prognosticators, that they're not to be practicing these type things, magic, you know. And it's amazing how many Christians go to spiritualists, palm readers, and stuff like this, trying to get somebody to predict their future for them. And the church world is as guilty as anybody. They're looking for some prophet to give me a word, give me a word. And a lot of the stuff that's going forth is not necessarily God. And people don't even know the difference. No, he said, you don't do that. These other nations, they do that. You don't do it. Later on, you get involved in the law. He says, kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's demonic. That person is operating with a familiar spirit or a demonic spirit. Don't you allow those people to stay in your land. You get rid of them. Boy, if we'd follow the laws of God, the land would be a wonderful place to live in. If you just followed the ways of God, you wouldn't have all this evil and perversion and ungodly stuff, people taking advantage of people, and the devil just running loose and doing what he wants to do in your nation. If we just follow the ways of God.
Verse 27, you shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall thou mar the corners of thy beard.
Now, I don't really understand this, what it means to cut the hair on the sides of the head or trim the beards. I'm not sure what all that's about, so I'm not going to go there. But all I know is he's saying don't do like other nations. They do this, don't you do that. You be different. I never have figured out what the corners of a beard is. before Randy and her?
Well, you know, I don't know.
But we're looking for the principle. Thank God we're not under the law of it. So we're looking at the principle. The principle is, stop trying to be like other people. If you want a role model, you can't get better than Jesus. Just follow his pattern.
Verse 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord.
Not, there's evidently was some tight practice of cutting yourselves and all this for the dead. I don't quite understand all that. I was roomed with someone that I've never seen before at a meeting, and we went to bed, and I noticed this guy had cuts all over him, and you know, dumb, naive, whatever. I said, "Well, what happened?" And then he told me that he used to be into devil worship, and that he'd take razor blades and cut himself up and all this type thing. Don't do it. And then the other thing he said was don't tattoo your flesh. Marks is tattoo. Okay? And you look at society today, my goodness, it's just rampant. But what's God said? I want you to be distinctly different. Don't try to be like other people. Okay? You be distinctly different. And I'm not saying you're going to hell if you have a tattoo. So don't, we're not under law. God's saying, I want your flesh clean. God wants our spirits clean, righteous, holy, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to where we're distinctly different than other people. We don't have any marks in us that are identifying us with the world. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Verse 29. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness.
Now, this is hard to imagine, but evidently it was being practiced, and it's been practiced right here in this area, men prostituting their daughters. And so they were commanded not to defile their daughters by making prostitutes out of them, and said you fill the land with prostitution and all the evil that comes along with all that. Okay? But stay clean. Do things God's way. Treat people like you want to be treated. Be honorable. Be honorable before God. Be honorable before people. Amen. Amen. Our time's up, so we're going to have to stop it here. Well, thank you that you bless us indeed to enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
Just remember this. Past is past. If you've done things in the past and you've accepted Jesus, thank God that he'll make you wiser and forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so there's no condemnation if we walk in the Spirit, not follow the flesh.